One of the great things about radio, of course, is you can listen to it whilst doing other things. The same can't necessarily be said oftentimes for television. And if we're looking at a report today Public Health England has produced, there is a danger in which the well-being and anxiety levels of British children are being affected by too much time spent in front of screens. To address this and to cope with a whole range of things and provide some insightful insights into the whole thing, we're delighted to welcome clinical psychologist and author extraordinaire, Professor Tanya Byron, to the Midweek Drive. How are you, Tanya?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very well indeed. And obviously sort of feeling fit and positive and working through that and thinking, what are we going to do with respect to this next generation who could end up like the characters in WALL-E, just slouched in their chairs and not have anything to do? And obviously you've got major health risks as well there.
Absolutely, and very well put. I mean, let's start this by looking at some stats. We know that over 70% of young people in the UK do not meet the recommended level of just 1 hour's physical activity each day. So when you put us against 29 other countries, we are 10th in the list, which is not good. And so what we're talking about today is the new Public Health England briefing paper, which, as you have said, is really highlighting some ways in which children and young people in the UK are not, I suppose, being encouraged to behave in ways that will maximise their health and well-being and their mental health and well-being as well. So we're looking at diet, exercise, excessive levels of sedentary behaviour, like being in front of a screen. And so Change for Life, the campaign that I'm launching today, the Smart Restart campaign, is looking at ways to support families to make small changes that can have a big impact on their children's well-being.
Clearly, it was a year ago we had the wonderful Olympic Games that kind of energised the whole range of things from that point of view. Is this a part of the legacy that isn't necessarily working and we have to constantly be saying, look, it is important, healthy mind in healthy body, mens sana and corporis sanus, to make sure that, without necessarily saying, right, OK, drop and give me 20 push-ups, etc., you can make exercise fun, but also ensure that the body is given a good workout so people do actually get the balance in life right.
Absolutely. Again, well said. And I think balance is the key word here. It's about looking at having a balanced, healthy lifestyle. So the Smart Restart campaign, all listeners have to do is search Change for Life online, and they'll get to the Smart Restart campaign. And what we do is we offer five different behaviours. They could choose one, which will then support them over the next 6 weeks between now and the first half term holiday to make some tiny changes that could have a big impact on their kids. So whether it's about swapping car journeys for walking or scootering, or looking at starting at 10 minutes of physical activity a day, going up to 60 minutes, or limiting screen time. Some parents find that very difficult. We've got lots of advice on how to do that, and also advice around food on the website as well. And there's also an app that can be downloaded. There'll be money off vouchers and all sorts of tips and various other bits of information so that people can set a small goal, whether it's around exercise, limiting screen time or diet. And over 6 weeks, we can text them, support them, and by making tiny changes in behaviour, we'll see quite a significant positive impact on their children.
You see, this is why not only do you have that monthly column in Good Housekeeping and also contribute weekly to the Sunday Times, you are the ace editor extraordinaire. In fact, in many ways, Tanya, I'd see you as the Dr. Spock for the current century, basically. It's a different line on that particular aspect, but still child development and so on. Motivation is at the heart of so many things with respect to this. If we've got parents listening to this thinking, well, yes, that's OK, but how do I actually motivate without being seen as a kind of hard taskmaster or task mistress? Any thoughts on the best way forward for this, other than saying, look, it's good for you?
Right, yes. Well, I think, again, this is a good interview. You ask good questions. Well, first of all, I'd say, you know, maybe we could do a little bit better at telling our kids, you know, this is what needs to happen and it's going to happen. And also saying no. I mean, a lot of parents I work with say, oh, but it's really hard to switch off their screens, or, oh, you know, they've got the telly in their bedroom, or, oh, they'll take their iPad to bed. Well, say no, take the telly out of their bedroom and don't let them have the iPad. If you want to limit screen time, be an assertive parent. But right, it's all about motivation, because what we're looking at is short-term behaviour change, which can inculcate new ways of living, so that as these young people grow up, this becomes an automatic thing for them. Physical activity every day will happen for them without thinking. So it's about finding fun, creative ways to increase activity levels without saying you have to do it. It just happens. The whole family get involved. Parents get involved. We are our children's role models. And that's why the website's brilliant, because we've got a lot of people who've contributed, who've given some fantastic ideas, fun games, all sorts of tips. As I said, money off vouchers, so that, you know, ways in which you can save money by increasing activity or whatever it is you choose to do. Just have fun.
Especially fascinated by that line, taking your eye patch to bed. What's wrong with a teddy bear? But that's a different issue for another interview, I'm sure. The web address, once again, Tanya, can we just mention it one more time, just so people can actually have a chance, if they can't play the podcast back again or listen again to the whole thing, what's the best way to access all these goodies?
So if you search on Change for Life, so that's C-H-A-N-G-E, the number four, then L-I-F-E. If you search on there, the whole campaign will come up. We want you to look at Smart Restart. And you can also download an app. It's available today and it's free. Sign up, get your money off vouchers, get your tips and hints, get your kids moving, limit the screen time, start term well. And by half term, you'll all be positive and scoring highly in the well-being department.
And I've deliberately avoided saying, well, what about the schools and teachers? Because I think, to be fair, in this particular instance, it is important that guardians and parents, etc., do take a responsibility for that particular perspective, because that way it's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Two final questions. These are the critical ones. Professor Tanya Byron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on the midweek drive today?
I have had a wonderful telephonic link, thank you.
My word. So the next critical question is, can we hopefully prevail upon you to join us maybe in the not-too-distant future and update us as to how successful and how this thing is actually panning out and all sorts of other bits and pieces? Will you return?
I will return. I mean, Change for Life is a great campaign. In January, we did the big launch of the healthy eating campaign. Over 1 million people got involved with the campaign. So outcomes are good. We're pushing on. And I'd love to know what your listeners think of the campaign as well. So feedback both ways would be brilliant. And it's always good to talk to you.
Professor Tanya Byron, clinical psychologist and indeed author extraordinaire. We salute you. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you.
We're going to bed with an iPad. It's the 21st century.
The Midweek Drive and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Two radio shows you can enjoy live, online and around the world from sirenonline.co.uk.
Quite extraordinary what's being written on Facebook at present with respect to some of our regular contributors and appreciators, etc. Katie Cruz and I'm listening. Did she get a shout out because her laptop crashed? So he didn't know. Penny Evans, not yet. Katie Cruz, good, haha. She thanks me. Hi, everyone. She's in such a good mood. Nikki Wells, so am I. Capitals, exclamation. Penny Evans, me too. Nikki Wells, haha. Katie Grimerson, Nikki, get some of that lovely coffee machine in the atrium if it's open. Cameron puts cayenne pepper in his coffee. You have to try that. And Katie Grimerson wraps up with, she likes her coffee strong. It just shows what Annette Andre can stimulate people to do, really. And Penny's writing about quantum physics now. The voice you heard there, of course, was whom, Ed?
Yours?
No. Well, actually, yeah, technically. But no, I was specifically referring to
Professor...
It could have been Professor Tanya Byron. But specifically...
Missed some of the many amazing interviews and features on the Midweek Drive? Relax and check out the podcast highlights on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Isn't that $6 million man crash we were talking about?
Can I do third time lucky?
Yeah.
It would be fourth time lucky, it would be Philip Herdwood.
Professor Philip Herdwood, obviously. Getting
Premier voiceover artist and ex-friend of Ed Wellman.
I love it, I love it. I want to be a professor from now on. The prof. I should be like a Stanley Unwin of the professorial world, I think.
Yeah. There are only probably two people in the studio who actually know who Stanley Unwin actually
Well, next time you should get a clip of him off YouTube or something and play it to the listeners, because it is such fun.
Go and listen to the Secret Service episode of Gerry Anderson's fantastic oeuvre, which deals with that and more. So there we are, Philip. I won't ask about going to bed with an iPad with yourself, but did you catch any of Tanya Byron's little thoughts there?
I did, and I thought she was, I mean, she was very wise words. I think, you know, I was parked outside a school just recently.
Steady.
Because it's a handy car park. Not for any other reasons, yeah. I thought I'd get there in quickly. I know you misinterpret things,
well.
Probably. There was a great big sign saying, and it was encouraging, this is a primary school in South London, mm-hmm. and it was encouraging children to walk to school at once a week. And it was a big sign saying, we walk to school once a week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it's got to start. It's got to become part of the culture of what you do. It used to be, when I were a kid, you had to walk everywhere.
Why have you gone Yorkshire on a smell, Philip?
I don't know, really. It was because the times were tough and I had to lick up the gravel every morning, all that
shoebox
stuff.
On 10-1, that's what we want, love.
You know what I mean? No, seriously, I think it's got to come from the very earliest days so that it becomes something which you don't even think about. Trying to convince a teenager that, to get out of bed before 3 o'clock in the afternoon and not to look at their iPads and computers all night long, is a hard task. But I think if it becomes part, ingrained in your cultural kind of thing, how you're brought up, I think that's the way forward, really. But it's got to be done. I'm quite surprised that there hasn't been, much more interest in sport amongst kids after the Olympics. It all came and went, didn't it?
Okay, let's just take that and put it to Holly Cox. Holly, we've already said you're a Renaissance woman of an active scenario. I mean, just work our way through some of the things that you're involved with. I mean, when you're not being treasurer and obviously actively involved with Lincoln Cobra cheerleading, you also do...
Is this to do with fitness? Or
with the whole range of things,
Obviously cheerleading, mm-hmm. my full-time job. Coming here.
We work very hard here. So as Philip will attest to, it's at least 60 squat thrusts before we even go into the studio.
Yes.
Good grief.
Exactly.
Well, I do. I'm very keen on the whole sit-up thing. I do one every morning. It's a start.
Exactly.
Please.
But my point, Holly, is... from the perspective of a generation, do you think that we have a big issue in Britain? And you look at youngsters. I mean, this is where I would have thought something like the activities you do in cheerleading, and we've already cleared in previous shows, it's more than the rah-rah-rah scenario. And Cobra Elite, you see the stuff that you do.
Yeah.
You were second in the national competition recently.
Yeah.
Is that one way in which you can actually get kids to be active and enjoy keeping fit?
Yeah, well, definitely. Again, cheerleading is a sport. I can't... press that enough because you warm up, you cool down, and it's good for children to. Our youngest are 3 years old, and even if they're just to get them moving is to start them off for life. And everything to do with cheerleading is to do with fitness as well, so it's something else that they can try. So it's got a bit of everything, got gymnastics, there's all the stunting, and there's dance as well, so it's not just one thing, so you're moving every part of your body.
It's not just physical, it's the other senses as well, isn't it? Watching and listening as well.
Yeah, definitely. So children can learn to obviously respect teachers and it's set them up for school. Like things, all little things like that will all kind of add up to growing up, really. Yep.
Philip.
Very good.
You often talk about warming up the larynx and ensuring that the instrument is maintained. We had Malcolm Thompson, who looks after training for Lincoln City Radio's presentational team. What do you do, Malcolm, in terms of that area? I mean, do you voice training up at Lincoln City Radio? Is it something you consider, or is it a case of, if you can speak, you can get on the radio?
No, we try and tell them to not speak exactly like you've just done there.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
Well, they're not coming from there, but I did hear...
I thought that was a very good Lincoln accent, actually.
we did end up... You were talking a second ago and you went into Yorkshire accent yourself, didn't you? And that sounded like the Hovis advert, actually. You weren't involved in that, were you, by any chance?
Who, me?
Yes, you. Yeah, yes, indeed.
No, I wish. No, I wasn't. No, I mean... That would be all night. No, I didn't do that one. But I'd like to have done, because it's an iconic one, isn't it, that one? Wasn't it Ridley Scott, I think?
I can't remember who did it, but it was one of these adverts which was in the charts, wasn't it, for one of the most successful campaigns they did.
Well, they had Dvorak's New World Symphony as the backdrop, so what more could you ask for?
Well, true.
Dvorak's New World Symphony, from Native American Indians through to North Yorkshire pit mines. Fantastic. That's what he wrote it for.
And it was actually, it was shot actually at a very nice place called Gold Hill, I think it's called, in the West Country, down in Dorset. is actually where it's shot. Yeah. It's a beautiful old steep lane, and still there to this day. That was. I'm sure if we do our research. Yes. Next, please.
We won't try.
So in terms of that...
Very nice. You're lulling me there. I'm being lulled.
Yes, exactly. So from your perspective, Malcolm, you'd say, well, back to the line there, do you worry about voices? What's
no, we don't worry too much about voices. We just we find that the voices will mellow as they have more experience on the radio. But people, when they first start doing radio work, they tend to panic on how their voice sounds, don't they? But then they slow down and they start speaking properly and things like that. So
what's the secret to becoming a wonderful...
Sorry,
what's the secret to becoming a wonderful voiceover specialist like what you are, sir?
Who, me? I don't know, really. I think experience is useful, that's for sure. I mean, when I started off, it was a white knuckle ride, and I hated the sound of my own voice. And I was acutely embarrassed and all that sort of stuff. But I think you've got to kind of just keep doing it. Just sit in front of a microphone at home and just keep recording and recording. Listen to commercials on the radio and television. Write them down. Find some scripts online. Just keep doing them. Find out your strengths and weaknesses. And play to your strengths, really. And I would say that's certainly how I've done it. And I've done so many thousands. In fact, I got one to do shortly after this, which is I made a start at doing it a little while ago, and I almost went and put my head in the oven because it's a medical video, and it's possibly one of the most ill-written things I've ever read. And it's also extraordinarily complex because it's got a number in every sentence of very complex, pharmacological terms and medical terms and all the rest of it, so it's driving me mental. But, I mean, in terms of broadcasting, funnily enough, just by chance, I think even as we speak, my brother is on Radio 4. He's an artist in St David's in West Wales, a very fine landscape painter and also a portrait painter. And that's really what the whole thing is about, because he has decided he wanted to paint as many of his neighbours in St David's as he possibly could over the course of the rest of his life. And that's his ambition. It's on the BBC website, on news for BBC Wales, I think it is. It's also, he's got a couple of interviews happening right this moment.
Allowing for the fact, Philip, that we've also talked about this community radio service we're thinking of setting up in the region of Wales that we've talked about,
yes.
I'm sure he'll be featured on Siren as well before too long. Ed might well be interviewing him.
And already, I mean, since the broadcast went out, I think it's gone out, actually.
Yes.
In the last 10 or 15 minutes, he phoned me up a short while ago and said the phone has just been dancing off the hook. Everybody's been phoning him up. And the thing, he said, what about you? Before this morning when he was doing the actual interview, because it was recorded earlier on today. And he said, what am I going to do? I said, just be yourself. Know what you're going to say. The audience are hearing it for the very first time. They're going to be on your side. They're not going to be anti you because you're doing something which is very community-minded. It's a kind of a celebration of the fact that he's been in that community now for the last 26 or 7 years, and he feels it's very much home. And he wanted to paint everybody in the community that he could. And I think that's a really rather laudable ambition. And it's he's got lots of the pictures up on the it's on the Mail online. There's
simply, in your own words,
putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Splendid. Malcolm, did you have a question?
Yeah, Philip, what qualities do you actually need to do voiceovers? Because they've told us that only certain people can do it.
Who have told you?
I have spoken to many people.
They have said...
names? No, I don't, because it might drop people in it. But is that right, Philip, that you have to have certain qualities to be able to do voiceovers?
Not really, I don't think, because I think... it depends, really. If you've got any kind of a music in your ear, if you've got... And I mean that, the sort of do you speak in kind of, nice rhythms? Do your sentence structures naturally have a sort of a rhythm and a balance that's appealing? You don't necessarily, not really. I mean, it's like saying, well, you can't be an actor unless you are ... Mm-hmm. But there are actors of every hue, colour, class, creed, look, appearance, complexion and everything. So I think it's very limiting to say that, you can't do voiceovers. You can't, I would suggest it's not a great
great thing to do if you've got Tourette's syndrome or you have a terrible stutter.
Good point.
If you've got disabilities of that kind,
or,
then...
Or are indeed illiterate. That's also difficult as well, to be
that,
fair.
That doesn't... Well, though people who are dyslexic can actually be voiceovers, you know, and why not? No, I think anybody can be a voiceover artist as long as they're prepared to put in a lot of work, you know, to practice it. I mean, even as a child, I would be messing about doing voices. A very close childhood friend of mine said years ago...
He's possessed.
You know, when I was he said, you're possessed. No, he said, you're mad. You want to go and see someone. No, he said, you'll probably end up doing cartoons one day and all that voice stuff. And I thought, well, that was prescient because that was when I was 10. So I was constantly doing voices, trying out different voices, and even in the car on long journeys, I might, you know, sit trying out different voices and so on. And I collect accents and voices and try to listen to them and figure out where people come from, and then I'll practice them and all that. But yeah, it's just really about being very aware of it. I don't think anybody should be limited. If they think they've got a reasonable voice, that's one thing that helps. But a lot of it's attitude and approach and sheer practice.
We're currently working on extensive scriptwriting for the first Holly Cox official jingle, Philip, which I suspect we'll probably be inviting you to voice for Holly.
Would you like to have
most people would say that, actually, especially when it comes to Miss Holly Cox. In terms of your own perspective, Philip, would you like to ask Holly any questions, the sort of jingle she'd like to have? I mean, Holly, have you thought about this? It's a very important time when you get your own official Midweek Drive jingle.
I don't know. There's so much opportunity.
We've got your cheerleading.
Cheerleading.
Yeah, you got your graduate from the drama sort of scenario. I mean, Philip, would you like to quiz Holly? A bit of kind of market research here. Find out what the client would like to have in their own customised Philip Herdwood voiceover. Maybe accents.
Yeah, I mean, what is the biggest thing you would want to say? What's the most important thing that you would want to say about yourself or about cheerleading? You know, what do you think that people would be most interested to hear?
Probably just about the squad, yeah. Something to do with the name, like get the name out there. I need Cobra Elite cheerleading in there, definitely.
Okay. And how do you think you might approach that? Do you think you might say, you know, you might start off and have it fun and witty when you normally associate cheerleading, shall we say, with American girls and pom-poms and all that? And then
because I like turning it on its head. I like saying it is this, not this. It's quite good.
Exactly. You could have two girls chatting and saying, where are you going tonight, love? Oh, I don't know, really. I could go out to someone, so I might go and get myself a bag of chips, you know, and they might go to the cinema. And then it might be, I'm going off to cheerleading. What? That's for Americans, isn't it? No, actually, because, and then blah, 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 blah. Off you go. You know, I mean, you know, anything like that. There's, as you say, to subvert it slightly, turn it on its head and, you know, and change people's expectations of it, because people expect it to be American.
People stereotype it as something when it's just not. I mean, it's for all over the world now, not just America. I mean, the world's America is full of...
As you know, Holly, you know, I'm looking for the Midweek Drive Ets to develop their cheerleading atmosphere, and you are the girl who is actually entrusted with that coordinating thing.
I know. They keep saying no, but I'm going to...
It's all very Katie Grimerson's saying, you know, referring to a science fiction module I taught her in the second year, that Penny Evans would have loved that. It's all very well her kind of relating the fact that she hates reality TV except the Great British Bake Off. She like our German vegetarian pate maker then. But, you know, this is a different light. Hey, Katie will connect. Still to come, Lily Holliman will be there. Philip, I think between the two of us, and probably Ed as well, we'll be able to coordinate a Holly Cox jingle. Let's try and
more
do it for
happy.
This time next week, actually. We'll try and get that sorted through. You know, then your own
unveiling. Just let me know, and I will be there.
It'd be a double whammy.
I can be more than happy.
We'd have the Nikki Wells official Rockstar Romance Trilogy event and the unveiling of the Holly Cox jingle. Yeah, it could be exciting. Ed, any views from yourself?
Me?
Myself, other
that
than I
Ed
still
Wellman.
Feel absolutely
yes.
mortified that I introduced you wrongly four times. You see, I think there's the quality of a voiceover artist, to make at least four mistakes.
Well, it gives
perhaps
the client
not.
Something to actually say, oh, I really quite liked a bit from the first take, and then a little bit from take 56, yes. And can we go back to take 24, please? And, well, I don't know, can I just have a bit more in it? A bit more or something like that? What does he mean?
Yeah, well, you get all the stuff like, you know, can you make it faster but slower?
Yeah,
You know, that often happens. You get quite a lot of that, where people don't really know what they're talking about.
In broadcasting? Surely some mistake.
Surely not, yeah. But, I mean, it's true to say that, you know, a lot of advertising agencies and people like that really, you know, are sort of feeling their way, but to put it kindly.
you know, you just, I think it's really just, you've got to hold their hand a little bit sometimes and just say, well, you know, I can help you here. I do know what I'm talking about. I've done it a lot of times before. You can do all that. So, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, it's a funny business, really, isn't it, voiceover work?
Funny, but at the same time, somehow, strangely inspiring. Get well soon, Sarah Bullimore. Sarah is unwell, and we did say we would actually give her a little mention. Yes, and she's a wee bit poorly, and so we thought, well, you know, Lincoln Inspired 2014 will be happening. She'll be back shortly. Seen recently crossing the road by Ed Wellman.
I did, unless it was a Sarah Bullimore lookalike, but I'm absolutely sure it was her.
Well, it happened.
But though she did say, and I know this from Facebook, I think that she was sorting out her entire diary for 2014 this morning.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's done
good
it.
Grief.
Just the thought.
Well, before they withdraw support from XP, is that what it is?
These are the critical questions.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've got a very good voice, I must say, if you don't mind my saying so.
That would be Ed Wellman, of course.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
He wouldn't say that about me, Ed, don't worry.
Oh, well, it's very
I would.
I've even voiced the odd travel and weather bulletin idents and things on
Phoenix
another station.
FM.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There you are, you see. No, I think you've got a great voice. It's good voice. But I was told that I had a good voice for I had a good face for radio. I'm not quite sure how I should take that, really.
It's an old and somewhat tired line that I prefer.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival. More than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Just in case you thought it was a masculine thing, this voiceover stuff. No, it isn't, and it never will be.
That was very nice, wasn't it?
Well, that's Rosie Langhorne for you. Anyway, moving onwards, Ed, last two questions for Professor Herdwood.
Philip, consider yourself a professor for the next minute. Anyway,
have you had Dr. Fox? He's not a real doctor.
Well, no, of course, and he's still going well, isn't he? Hey. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link
I
with
have
us?
Indeed, and all as Let always, it always finish. Seems all over too quickly.
Go, Ed.
On
go.
The midweek drive, I just get there. And can we look forward to connecting with you again, please, Philip, soon?
As I would always, I'm always on hand, as Alexius knows, I am on hand.
You're a good man.
Marcus is always willing.
time to have a little tune now, which I find quite electrifying in its own way. It's that young Katie Melua.